Welcome to Recreate Your Life, Morty Lefkoe's weekly podcast. Discover how you can transform the quality of your life. Find out simple ways to change and make that change last. Learn how to eliminate limiting beliefs. Discover how to become the person you've always wanted to be and live the life you've always wanted to live. Each week, one of the keys to change is handed to you. This is Recreate Your Life with your host, Morty Lefkoe.
Hi, this is Morty Lefkoe's weekly podcast, number 8. Most of my blog posts present material I have a clear point of view on, such as how beliefs are formed, how they can be eliminated, and how they determine our thoughts, feelings, and behavior. I don't hold these as the truth, but as effective and useful A-truths. A few posts, like the ones I wrote last December on occurring, present some half-formed ideas I'm thinking about and trying to work through. This post, on some thoughts on manifesting, is like that. Let me start with two ideas I've been fascinated about for a few years. Here's the first idea. If you ask someone, "Do things exist?" the response would probably be, "Of course things exist. The world's full of things. Doesn't everyone know that there is physical stuff out there, that reality is tangible and real?" But what allows anything, a hand, a chair, or any other object, to exist? One way to answer is to imagine a specific thing, say a hand. What if the hand expands and keeps expanding until there's nothing in the universe except the hand? What would happen to it? Really try to imagine this. You wouldn't see the hand anymore. But why? It would disappear because there'd be nothing in the universe that was not the hand. This thought exercise illuminates a very basic concept about reality. We live in a dualistic universe. In order for any thing to exist, there must also be not that thing. Consider this for a moment. Can you see that any physical object is bounded by not that object? If an object did not have any borders, that is, if it wasn't surrounded by not that object, it couldn't be distinguished from everything else. In other words, it wouldn't exist. The same principle also applies to non-material concepts. Love and hate, peace and war, strong and weak, beautiful and ugly. These only exist and have unique attributes because they've been distinguished from each other. For example, the state of war is distinguished from peace by the presence of armed conflict. When there is no armed conflict, there is peace. But if armed conflict existed throughout the world all the time, and if the alternative peace was unimaginable, you wouldn't be able to distinguish war from any other state. War as a condition distinct from peace couldn't exist. Now imagine the universe without any distinctions. It's just an undifferentiated whole. Can you see that there would be nothing? That's because in order for anything to exist, it must be distinguished from everything else. If no distinction is made between a specific thing and everything else, there's only an undifferentiated everything, which is another way of saying nothing. Everything without any distinctions is the same as nothing. Physicist Fred Alan Wolf once said, quote, "The world is only a potential and not present without you or me to observe it," close quote. I would suggest that what physical reality really requires is consciousness to make distinctions. In making distinctions, we use our sensory apparatus, the five senses, as well as our perceptual framework, language, culture, paradigms, individual beliefs. But the world isn't really the way you perceive it. It isn't anyway until you perceive it that way. That is, until you distinguish it that way. In fact, you don't even sense what's out there because there's nothing out there to be sensed. Nothing, as we've seen, however, is the potential for everything to be distinguished. An example comes from a Time magazine cover story on human consciousness. Quote, "A baby born with cataracts, an unusual but not unheard of condition, and left untreated for as little as 6 months, becomes permanently and irrevocably blind. If a 60-year-old develops cataracts, an operation can restore full sight. The distinctions most of us make unconsciously and at a glance, foreground versus background, moving versus stationary, vertical versus horizontal, and dozens more, are concepts that the brain has learned. It literally has to wire itself with neurons growing out to touch and communicate with one another in an ever more sophisticated network of connections. And if those connections are not repeatedly stimulated in the first few months of life, when the brain is still in its formative period, they atrophy and die. In other words, moving in stationary or vertical and horizontal are not events out there. Rather, they're concepts that the brain has learned or distinguished as a result of having a specific sensory apparatus, without which they couldn't be distinguished. That means they literally wouldn't exist. This is only a brief summary of an idea that's relevant to this post. It could be developed further into a longer post or even a chapter in a book. Here's the second idea. It's actually a part of the who am I really process. There are three ways to know something. First, by understanding it. This is conceptual and involves language and explanation. You can understand that you create your life when someone explains it to you or when you read about it. Second, by experiencing it. You know you're the creator of your life in a totally different way when you experience it. And third, by bringing something into existence, by creating, distinguishing it. When you distinguish yourself as the creator of your life, as distinct from the creation, you know you're the creator of your life in this third way, which cannot even be described. Now, the following are some of my recent thoughts that appear to be related to the two ideas presented earlier, but I'm not sure yet how to tie all this together. I'd welcome any suggestions. Understanding something is true, or even experiencing it as true, doesn't make it manifest. These two ways of knowing are ways of knowing what already exists. The third way to know reality, knowing by distinguishing creating, brings what's been distinguished into existence. Making a distinction is sufficient to bring something into existence as an idea, but it needs to be experienced and brought into existence for the distinction to actually exist in reality. The fact that a distinction does not show up in physical reality immediately does not mean we haven't created it. What we've distinguished really does exist as an idea. It just isn't in physical form yet. Wants and desires are a function of already existing beliefs. They arise from already existing beliefs. You look at what exists and want it to be the same or different based on your values, which are a type of belief. The beliefs are from the past, and wants and desires live in the future. You're either satisfied with what already is or dissatisfied with what already is. Neither generates or creates. Creation takes place in the present. You make a distinction and bring something into existence as a thought, an idea. The very act of making a distinction brings it into existence mentally. That thought will then manifest when we act in the present consistently with it. Behavior can exist in three totally different realms. Figuring out how to solve existing problems to reach a goal, which is focusing on the past. Creating a strategy to reach a goal, which is focusing on the future. Or taking advantage of opportunities as they arise consistently with the future that's already been created, distinguished in our mind, focusing on the present. How am I using these ideas in my own life? I created, distinguished 5 million people using the LEFCO method to eliminate at least one limiting belief by December 31st, 2012. At the moment, I have no idea how to manifest 5 million users in just 2.5 years. I'm doing whatever seems appropriate to manifest that creation as the opportunities arise. Writing weekly blog posts, writing guest posts, creating a new course to teach people how to dissolve how the world occurs for us, supporting research on the effectiveness of the LEFCO method, especially on stress, joint venture mailings, using Twitter and Facebook, etc. I expect that additional opportunities to reach my goal will emerge over time, and what currently exists only in my mind will manifest in the world when the time comes. Do you have any suggestions or comments on this week's thoughts on manifesting? If you haven't yet eliminated at least one of your limiting self-esteem beliefs using the Lefko belief process, please go to recreateyourlife.com where you can eliminate one limiting belief free. And to purchase DVD programs that we guarantee to eliminate 8 of the most common daily problems people face, go to recreateyourlife.com/store. See you next week.
You've been listening to Recreate Your Life, Morty Lefko's podcast. Subscribe at iTunes or sign up at MortyLefko.com to receive each week's podcast, where you can leave comments about these podcasts. To eliminate one limiting belief free, go to RecreateYourLifeFree.com. And to have your questions answered about how to live your best life, join us on our Facebook page, Recreate Your Life.